Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to It's All Kicking Off, another football roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, Ewan Patterson and Adam Nicholas from What Culture Football. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Football for daily football podcasts. But gents, the reason we are gathered here today...
Glad you hit the DM, man. Every time.
...is because this week marks the 10-year anniversary of Emmanuel Adebayor scoring that unforgettable goal against Man City, for Man City against Arsenal, running the length of the pitch, the fastest I've ever seen him move, to celebrate in front of the Arsenal fans.
Do you feel aged knowing that it's 10 years
ago? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
10 years ago. I tell you what, I always think of, I remember them in terms of the kits that the clubs were wearing at the time. And I remember that Man City kit vividly and who was playing. And what a weird thing to do, man. What a weird thing to do.
I distinctly remember that was the when Man City just sort of had all the money but weren't really sure what to do with it.
It was just putting it together, wasn't it?
Craig Bellamy.
Hey, actually, the team that started to put together,
Elano.
It was like all of these disgruntled players, wasn't it, from elsewhere who were, they weren't like top tier.
A disgruntled manager from somewhere
else. Yeah, they weren't top tier, but they were still better than Newcastle players, most of them.
When did Tevez join? Was that the year after? No, 2 years after.
It might have been the same. You know what it is? Because it had it was the blue with the really thick white collar, I seem to remember.
I've just blotted that entire period of history from my brain. No, after 2009, the history of Liverpool kind of went down, a brief dark period. So I just kind of put it all in a nice little box. And I don't recall
over
any
there,
of it.
Buddy.
It just goes over there. Joe Cole, who?
So, I remember that.
Jeez.
Did he get sent off on his debut?
I can't even remember. He looked gassed all the time.
Yeah. But the reason why I've brought that up is I want to use this as a jumping off point to talk about players who came back to haunt former clubs.
Well.
So where do you want to start?
I don't know, really. It's one of those interesting things I go back to and I'm like, the big predominant narrative over the past few years has been Chelsea's quote-unquote rejects coming back to haunt them, which I think is always interesting. You have your De Bruyne's and your Lukaku's and then your Mohamed Salah's as well. And that's been one of my favourite narratives at the moment. You know, it kind of emblematic of Chelsea's ridiculous transfer strategy and impatience and short-term thinking back to haunt them.
There was a period a couple of years ago where you could have made like a 1-11 of this amazing squad of players who Chelsea went, Kevin De Bruyne? No, thank you.
That is a what-if universe where Chelsea are the best team in the world, not just in the Premier League, in the world, because they kept all these players and nurtured them and didn't get rid of a manager every 5 minutes. And they've got this incredible team. But, like, think about all the talent they had there. I know, obviously, it's not quite on top. We're getting a bit off there. But, like, it's nuts.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Were there ever any players that really came back to haunt Newcastle?
Oh, I'm sure they are. There was a few heartbreakers all the time.
Maybe.
Andy Cole. Anybody who was a striker ever, whoever comes back to play against Newcastle, inevitably ends up scoring. We went to see the Leicester-Newcastle game recently, and I was sat just waiting patiently for Jose Perez to just stick one in the back of the net, because he was really hamming it up. He was playing the heel when he was there. The whole crowd was... they were booing him out the building. All he did was leave for £35 million.
Thank you.
Yeah, Andy Carroll, same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, I imagine there is. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Any real notable ones who've broken my heart? Give me a minute. You've asked me that right
now. One of the names that, and very rare that I say this, one of the names that immediately leapt into my head for this was Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck,
who of course left Man United, went to Arsenal after opportunities were diminished for him. And all Man United fans, because they're lovely people, said, well, that's him done. Done and dusted. He's gone to a smaller club. He's going to be rubbish now. I think I read somewhere he scored in half the games he played against Man United, and I distinctly remember him scoring a goal to knock them out of the FA Cup.
Yes. I think there's an interesting thing here with, you know, players coming back to haunt them. It's one of those things where players who have left or haven't proven themselves at a quote-unquote club that they've been to, like Manchester United, or even in Liverpool in some mistakes. I remember when we got rid of Christian Benteke to Crystal Palace, and then Big Sam parked the bus and, you know, I had Christian Benteke coming up and then just, you know, ruining my... That was on my birthday, that was.
Ruining my... Look at this, you've really opened the wound here.
Exactly. But it happens to pretty much every club almost, and I think, you know, the Welbeck situation with Man United was definitely a case of, oh, you're too good for me, are you? Well, and that kept on happening over and over again, so yeah.
How have Liverpool fared in the past with former players coming back?
To be fair, not as bad as you'd think. I mean, we you know, with Torres, like, when he left, he just kind of basically, you know, nosedived, and that's he went to Chelsea, so I have no sympathy there, but you know, he was a great servant for the club, and the fact that he didn't really get one over on us when he went to Chelsea was kind of like the grass isn't always greener, is it? Even though he did went on to win the Premier League title and other few trophies as well, but whatever, you know what I mean.
I'll never forget Gary Neville losing his mind in that Champions League semi, little round the keeper. Oh god, that was so good.
Yeah, I'll never hear a bad word by Chelsea fans said against Fernando Torres.
No,
that was the goal.
Yeah, well, of course the narrative this year when we drew Barcelona in the Champions League was that Suarez and Coutinho were going to come back to haunt us, and they didn't, did they? So there we go. I'm filling up the obnoxious stereotype right now, aren't I?
That's okay. Yeah. Just do it. Just going to have it. You're expecting it anyway. You're meeting the court.
I mean,
fine.
I've basically erased all the traumatic moments where we've lost a player and they've come back and broken my heart. The only times I've really had my heart broken by a player that's gone to leave us is the fact that, you know, Xabi Alonso, I never got to see him play again for Liverpool, which is a shame.
A
never came back to haunt us, but it was a case of, you
know. He's never came back.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I guess, you know, for us mainly, the haunting of players that have left has come from the fact that we've replaced them with absolute dross, like Aquilani. So
I couldn't care, man. Alberto Aquilani was like quality over in Italy. Yeah. He comes to Liverpool, just wasn't happening.
Because you and I have got a shared affinity of Italian
just
football.
Italy in general, mate.
Was one of those players that when they said he was coming to the Premier League, you told all your mates,
yes,
he'll be great.
I literally waxed lyrical about Aquilani. I was like, this could be the signing for Liverpool to change the whole... And it wasn't, obviously. Yeah. Never worked out for him.
Not to go slightly off topic here, but how do you two feel about celebrating against your former club?
I think it's...
Wait there, before you answer this question,
yep.
Answer it as a fan.
Yes.
But then I want you to also answer it as if it was you as a person.
Yes.
If you were literally a player
and
you went to a different club, what would be your philosophy?
I mean, okay, so I think my answer will surprise you because I think it's the same for both. I definitely think you should celebrate. And that's the thing is, like, if you're committing, you're not playing for that team anymore. Mm. You know, your mind goes back to Ince when he left Man United and joined Liverpool and he just celebrated in front of the cop when he scored against them. That's how it should be. You've committed to, you've already gone and joined the team's biggest rival. You might as well start celebrating. And I think there's ideas of like showing respect to your former club or whatever. In the emotion of, say, you know, when Salah, we absolutely routed Roma the other year in the Champions League, he didn't celebrate against them at all. You know, that's fair enough. You know, Roma is where he got his career back
on track.
And whatever.
They'd had enough.
But, you know, he'd literally just carried Liverpool all the way to a 5-1 thrashing of Roma in the Champions League semi-final. And you do think, how do you even contain that?
Yeah.
How do you contain that as a, you know, is it, would you think that celebrating against your former club is unprofessional? Is it, you know, and I know it's a mark of respect sometimes as well, but at the same time, you know, get caught up in the moment. You feel like a bit of an idiot as a fan if you're going absolutely mental. And meanwhile, you know, Big Mo's just there.
Someone's
being like,
doing the Charlie Brown walk back to the middle of the thing.
Like. Yeah. I mean, you think of like Frank Lampard when he scored against Chelsea and he looked almost like apoplectic about it. He was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. And it's like, well, just...
If you're a fan of the team who scored, you're surely thinking, hang on, if you're holding back on the celebration, you're holding back in the game because you don't want to play too well against your former employers?
I think it's one of them. It's a difficult thing. It's a case by case, isn't it? Like, if you got a player who's had a terrible time in a club, then you can understand when you put that goal in against your former club, you're going to go mad. You're going to go and have a go at the supporters or do whatever you want to do against ex-managers or whoever. I think if you've really got an affinity with the club you've left, like they've done something great for you, you spent 5 years there, they gave you a start in football, you became the player you are because of all the coaches, da, 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 then I can totally understand someone not wanting to celebrate. However, with that model and you're in a final of a cup or a...
Yes.
You're like... Come on, man. Like, it's the cup. It's a chance to win, to really etch your name into history. You're right. You can't contain that. That is... And anybody who manages that is beyond words in terms of, like, having the temperament to do that. Because you see it sometimes where players do, they'll go to celebrate, like, because it's a big moment, and they'll go like, and then they'll go like, oh, and they're like, oh, no. And then they've done a little bit of a smile, and they're going to punch, and then they just calmly walk off.
I always take the David Luiz approach to life, generally. and that is, have your cake and eat it too, because I seem to remember he scored against Chelsea for PSG, went insane, as he always does, with that flowing hair behind him, and then just afterwards tweeted, oh, yeah, sorry about that, I got caught up in the emotions. Because I've been listening to a lot of that Peter Crouch podcast recently, fantastic podcast, well worth checking out. And he was talking about regretting certain celebrations. And not, he didn't really talk about not celebrating, just
if he's,
doing
is it. If he's about to pour, like, douse the flames on the robot right now, I'm going to
No,
upset.
Don't worry. He's, I mean, that's his bread and butter, isn't it? But he was talking about just doing a crap celebration. I think he was talking about the overhead kick, possibly against Galatasaray, he scored for Liverpool, and the fact he just sort of did a bit of a crap celebration for that.
I can't even
but anyway... I'd much rather look back and see me doing some wild celebration. If it's like, imagine if that was your last ever goal.
Yes.
I mean, we're different. I'm very much the dad on TalkSport saying, well, you know.
If you're the dad on TalkSport.
If you don't celebrate, you know, get these goals, you know, the game's gone sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm inclined to think, I would think, feel a pang of regret. But at the same time, as fans sat here, if you get to score one Premier League goal ever, I'd be naked, probably, in the middle of the...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I can understand that, and I think you would. I have this very similar thing about, you know, you get these people who just look exactly the same throughout their whole life. They've got the same haircut, they've got the same facial hair. When they get the end of their life, they're going to be like, they're going to look back and just be like, oh yeah, I was the same for all that time. Like, all that, you didn't celebrate or didn't do anything. Wouldn't you rather have a moment where you did something crazy, like you're running around, you've just backflipped into the crowd, you broke all the bones in your body? I'd rather have that than just be like, yeah, well,
didn't that happen last season? I think, was it at Napoli Stadium, someone jumped over and then just fell like...
did not realise that it was a big drop. Anyway, let's get back to players haunting their former clubs, even, if I can get my words out. One name I do want to mention here is Eric Cantona. Less so for the goals he scored against Leeds United, and more just being like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have sold me to Man United. Because it was the whole thing of, it was Howard Wilkinson said... Fergie rang up about a certain player and he said, no, he's not for sale. But, you know, if you want Cantona, you could probably take him off our hands.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pretend that I was alive during all of this.
Oh, God.
Because, I was not alive when Eric Cantona played for Leeds.
That's so really depressing.
So there you go.
Jesus.
That's the expertise that I bring to the table here, yeah.
That is when just did you rocked United? My world.
94, 95.
Yeah. He was a United player 2 years by the time.
Well, this is the end.
Well, that's the end of the podcast. Thanks, guys. Please let us know your thoughts in the comments down below.
I might as well just have like a scythe just reminding everyone of their own mortality.
Help me out here, Nicholas.
I'll certainly try. I was four, but let's give it a blast.
But in terms of memories of that at that time, when you look back, I mean, it's one of the biggest blunders in terms of selling a player. I mean, you understand where they were coming from.
I mean, you can understand where they're coming from. There, it was a period of time, though, where Leeds was still very much a team who could have potentially been considered to be the next big thing, weren't they? So you're thinking, if you want to like lay down the mark of keeping that policy of what you're going to do with your players, are you going to keep them? To just kind of offhandedly disregard and get shot of Eric Cantona, knowing what he went on to do at Manchester United, and let's be honest, how big of an icon of the game. I know that might be like hard for a Liverpool fan here, but in fairness, that as a guy who literally is synonymous with the Premier League, I think there's names throughout the years, especially in the 90s, you think like, oh God, some of the stuff he used to do, or even down the karate kick and stuff like that, like that's, he's iconic. So just be able to like, oh yeah, we'll just let him go. Just have him disappear. I think Gary Neville said it recently. I don't know if it was... Siri, hello. I said, I think Gary Neville said...
I want to be in the podcast.
I didn't catch that, Siri says. I think, like, where was it? Gary Neville said it was back in the day, Manchester United had a way where they could essentially bully clubs because they had the most money. Mm-hmm. And they could say, we want that person, so we're getting them. Mm. I'm not sure if that would have exactly been the scenario.
Probably not.
The fact that
they opened
like,
the door for it.
Yeah, they opened the door. And you think, like, look at what he did, how many goals he scored and how good he was.
Man, yeah, I've got a bit of a track record for this. Robin van Persie, of course, scoring against Arsenal and then going there, going to Man United and, of course, winning the league with them. I mean, being the standout player for them.
How old was he
season.
When he moved to Man United again? I remember that being a big thing.
He wasn't a young player. He was early 30s.
Mid-20s. But
That's an interesting... Yeah, that's tragic for Arsenal fans, though. Like, you have van Persie, you know, your most valued player for years at that point, and then you can't fulfill his dreams or ambitions with them, and then he goes to Manchester United. And I always think it's more painful when a player leaves to join a club in the same league. I could deal with, like, I think, you know, there was talk of Coutinho coming back this summer to either, you know, Chelsea or Spurs or like even Manchester City at one point. You know, that would have legitimately kind of been like, I'd like to think that maybe the bond you have with the club is a little bit whatever. Mm. But, you know, I think it's especially painful if that happens and the narrative is they then go on to fulfill their ambitions, because it's like, well, what are we offering as a club? Why don't players feel confident enough to try and fulfill that here? And I think that's Van Persie kind of exemplifies that whole fear.
The Van Persie one's an interesting one because sometimes I like it. I like to see a player who moves away and the thing works out for them. How many times do you see it where it doesn't work out and you're like, I didn't necessarily want to see Torres do well at Chelsea, but like they've spent so much money on, you know, sometimes I like it when a club just spends that money and the player can take the skills that they had and it
on
keeps
paper,
the same.
Torres, Ancelotti, you think,
well, that's a golden thing, and Morelos bringing over a good player like that. And like, sometimes you want to see it happen, but I guess with Van Persie, it's the case of he left because he wanted more and he got it. Like he was a player who needed to be playing a team that was going to win the league. He was the best striker in the Premier League at that point. And sure enough, he went to Man United and lo and behold, he's actually really good and fit in perfectly with that model.
One interesting one I thought of, which you'll probably be able to relate to now you've made me incredibly depressed about how old I am, is Frank Lampard, a name, of course, synonymous with Chelsea. But my dad, a West Ham fan, will insist he is a West Ham player. And, you know, it's kind of been lost, all that, hasn't it?
This is a funny one because we've got Frank Lampard with West Ham, but the one I immediately think about is the Man City.
Chelsea
one. Frank Lampard, Man City, because I remember distinctly how...
inevitable it was.
He looked like he just inadvertently shot Chelsea's dog. like he'd gone to just shoot a gun off.
Hey, Roman, give us your pooch.
And it had ricocheted and killed an innocent dog because he was like, he scored and it was like, ah. Oh.
Whoops.
And then he's like...
it's like an OG almost.
He's a bit like, it was almost like he was... like putting his hands, I was like, oh God, but what, like Martin Taylor, I say, oh no, but oh yes, like what was the reaction? Like, oh no, he didn't mean to score for the club he's playing for. But yeah, in terms of this one, the one for West Ham though, I think that they really gave him a hard time, West Ham. Like even when he was playing there, obviously.
Fat Frank,
they didn't, they thought he was just getting the team because daddy's boy and all that kind of thing. So this, for me, is more justified. I'd rather see that happen when a player comes back and gets the comeuppance. And actually, arguably, goes on to become the player he was meant to. He would never have achieved that at West Ham, would he? No disrespect to West Ham, but he went to Chelsea at the perfect time, didn't he?
And he just showcased, you know, what he could do, and he was given the platform for that, to be fair. One player who consistently seemed to go back and haunt his old clubs, probably because he just had so many of them, is Nicolas Anelka. He obviously played for... Liverpool, Arsenal.
Start with who he didn't play for. Reverse engineering.
Don't think he played for Man United. That's about it, really.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like Anelka, you kind of think of the lost potential of the Houllier years at Liverpool. And yeah, I can't say that he was ever around long enough to feel any pang of, you know, upset whenever he did return to haunt us. But it's a case of, you know, what a player. It's kind of frustrating that never, you couldn't build anything stronger from that. And, you know, people tend to get like, oh, you played for Liverpool. And it's like, yeah, you didn't. It's one of those things where I can't really relate to any sort of immense inner tragedy of being like, oh no, he came back. But it's more of a case of, again, exemplifying the lost potential of not being able to convince a player that, you know, you're a perfect fit, and then them going on to fulfill ambitions elsewhere. And yeah, it's interesting when you're that much of a journeyman how you relate to that in your own head.
That's the thing with Anelka. It's not like he went off to one other club and then had an incredible career there, because it wasn't his style. Also, I don't think it was the style of his brother or cousin who's his agent. I'm very rich because you are going to a new club every time. Getting part of that signing on bonus.
Possibly before, or maybe slightly before, all these mad transfer figures got thrown about. I think he was the most expensive player in history, cumulatively.
Well, because he's been to so many places.
He's played for Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Bolton. I mean,
Man City.
I forgot Man City. Bolton.
There's half the teams.
West Bromwich Albion. You played there.
Half the teams he would go back to. He would remember Bolton. He was a prolific striker for them, and he would go back to these former clubs and just dominate them. One final player I did want to mention, and it's rare we get through one of these lists without mentioning him, is Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
There's a one for you.
He's had some time in Serie A, of course, and I distinctly remember him in a Milan derby winning a penalty, or taking a penalty, I should say, and celebrating against his former club before the ball had even hit the back of the net. He took it, basically, with his arms aloft.
He's something else.
He's just the best.
The most cartoonish man alive. He's like some sort of evil Disney villain that's been, like, you know, was glooped out of animation and molded from different old animated cells and brought to life. He even has the evil facial hair. And he's bullying people in America now. Like, it's just like, stop, they're already dead, Zlatan, please, no.
It's that thing of, like, at what point did he go, all right, I am this guy, actually.
Yeah.
Like, he knew he was good. He was confident and stuff. It's the same with Ronaldo, though, where people had this perceived idea of him, so he just started leaning into it. Like, I'll never forget when he used to watch soccer back in the day and asked Ronaldo, like, who's best player in the world? And he was like, me. And it's like, but leaning right hard into the fact that everyone thinks he's that guy anyway. It's like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, though, like, just what a character to have. And if someone was going to come back and score against you, I'd almost not be angry if it was Zlatan.
No, you couldn't hate.
He's just a god.
It's almost like you've just been like, you know, when you've been tangoed. It's like you've been Zlatan'd.
you just accept it, don't you? Aston Kutcher comes running out. You just got Zlatan'd.
The best goal against a former club?
It's Adebayor.
Full length of the pitch. Yes. Celebration in front of the crowd.
The best celebration or the best goal?
No, not the best goal. The best of haunting your former club has to go to Manuel Adebayor.
I mean, he's when he started that run... He's literally running into history. He's like, they're going to remember this for years.
Because his soul's about to jump out of his body. It's ridiculous. It's either he's got fire ants on him. He's trying to get his shirt off, but he's just there running.
He's like,
legging
it down. It's the way he's running like that. I don't know. I've never seen him move
put
that quick
way,
in my life.
If I know it probably has had a little bit of it retrospectively, but if that had happened last weekend, the amount of GIFs and memes we would have had from it. Because it wasn't a huge thing back then.
Mm.
But that happened now, it'd be happening for weeks. He'd be running into people's DMs. That's what he'd be doing.
Right, let us know some players who came back to haunt your club, or players you know of who came back to haunt their former clubs in the comment section below or on Twitter at WhatCultureFC. Watch there, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Ewan at...
Ewan Ruins Things.
You can follow Adam at
It's Adam Nicholas.
You can
follow me
at Adam Wilborn. You follow us all at What Culture FC. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Football for daily football podcasts. This has been It's All Kicking Off. My thanks to you and to Adam. Thank you for watching. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.